Okay, are we ready?
We're ready.
Excellent. So, different parakim, different chapters, I try to focus on different ideas. The idea of this chapter, I like to focus on how much sometimes the oral Torah lends us in understanding the written Torah. We all believe that the Torah was given to us at Sinai, both the oral and the written, and therefore, every so often, one helps out the other. So we start off as follows. So there's 3 days, 3 years of famine, and finally David says to God, what's going on here? Why the famine? So he says, because of Shaul, and the fact that he has a house of blood, that he killed the Givonim. So he goes and he calls out to the Givonim. Now the Navi feels it necessary to tell us that they were not Jewish, the Givonim. Now it's unclear why we would have thought they were Jewish. We'll discuss that a little bit. And he tells us that, you know, that Shaul didn't have a particularly good relationship with them. So David says, you know, in the sense of somewhat of a gripe, what can we do to make it up to you? How can we make things better? Can we make things right? So we're not looking for money, we're not looking for silver, we're not looking for gold. Right? We're not looking to kill any Jew. So they say, well, what are you looking for then exactly? Whatever you want, you'll get it. Vayomu el ha-melech, ha-ish asher kiranu v'asher dimaranu nishmanu misyatzei v'kol gvul Yisrael. That man who annihilated us, he destroyed us, who knocked us out, yutam ranu shiva anoshim ibanav v'huk na'um radanoi b'givat sha'ul b'chir adanoi. Vayomu ha-melech, ha-niyatein. Says, what do we want? We want 7 members of his family to hang. David says, fine. Now, obviously there are some issues here. We'll just read on a little more to see if it actually happens. And among the descendants of Shaul that were alive at this point is Mephibosheth, his grandson. Mephibosheth is the son of Yonasan, who is the son of Shaul. If you remember from the Haftorah of Machar Chodesh, there is an agreement, a treaty between David and Yehonasan. So therefore, because of the treaty, he decides not to give him Mephibosheth over. Ve'ikach melchas shnei b'nei Ritzvah bas'ay asher yodol l'Shaul, es Armoni ves Mephibosheth ves Chameshes b'nei Michal b'Shor asher yodol Adriel ben Barzillai ha'macholosi. So instead he takes 2 descendants of Ritzvah bas Aya, who was married to Shaul, and 5 of the sons of Michal, the daughter of Shaul, that she had with Adriel ben Barzillai, and gives them over. Vayidei b'yad givonim vayakdiyum b'har lifnei Adonai Vayiplu shivatam yachad veheva humsu bimei ktsir rishonim v'tchilas ktsir seorim. And he gives them over, and they are all hung at once, the 7 of them, at the end of the time of the barley harvest. The barley harvest is around Sukkot's time. Vatichach Ritzvah bas ayas hasak vatatehu lo el hatsur mitchilas ktsir adet nitach mayim aleim min hashamayim. And Ritzvah Basaya, the mother of 2 of them, spends day in, day out there, guarding the bodies, make sure the animals do not go after it, make sure the vultures do not go after the bodies, and she stays there until the rains start, and at that point they are finally buried. So, issues involved here. So we have a famine. The famine is because Shaul did something wrong to the Givonim. What did Shaul do wrong to the Givonim? We don't really know. Even the experts of Shmuel here will note that there was no mention prior that he ever did anything wrong to the Givonim. That's point number 1. Point number two is this is an absolutely ridiculous request that they made, and therefore one would not expect David to follow through on it. Remember, last week we discussed the idea if people come over to you and say, we're going to kill you all unless you give over one of you. So there was a discussion if they ask for someone in specifically whether you give them over or if you only give them over if they're culpable for the death penalty. However, if they ask for just give us seven people, period, you don't give them over. That's the next question, right? You can follow that with what gave David the right to pick who, yes, who, no. You could also discuss the fact that leaving someone hanging out for months is, of course, a violation of the Torah. So there are many issues involved here, and hence the Talmud in Yevamos is kind enough to step in and help us.
Is this the same Michal that he was married to?
What? Ah, a good point. This Michal Bashal was married to David. So, let's take a look. So the Gemara.
Right, who did she have the children with?
Adriel.
Who was that?
So Adriel was someone that she was married to before she was married to David, it would seem. So the Gemara starts as follows: Nesidim David Gazar Aleihem Shneamar VaYikra Anoch Hagiv Onim VaYomar Aleihem VaHagiv Onim Lo Bibnei Yisrael Hema. There are these people called Givonim who converted at some point. When did they convert? So if you remember the story, at the time of when Yehoshua enters the land, he's killing people left and right. And these people, the Givonim, come over to him and say, oh, we're from a faraway land, you know, and they're dressed like they've come from a very long journey, and, you know, we want to make peace with you. And Yehoshua, not being aware that these are people who live next door, falls for it, and he, in fact, goes and does make a peace treaty and, in fact, converts them. Then he wakes up and realizes he's made a mistake. And the question is, what are their status? These people did convert to Judaism, but they did convert somewhat under false pretenses. So the Gemara tells us that David says that these people, David says these people are not Jewish. How do we know that? Well, that was that strange pasuk in the beginning. The fact that he says in the middle that, and they were not Jewish, means that David is making a comment here. So, my timer goes alayu. Why did he go and say that they're not Jewish? So, here's the story. There was a 3-year famine, 1 year after another. Shana Rishona. So after the first year, you have 1 year famine. Already you look into it. So David says, what's going on? Shema Ovde Avodas Kochavim Yishbechem. Maybe the reason that God caused the famine because of idol worship. Diksiv. Vavatem Elohim Achim Rishtachi Semlehem Ve'atzar Sashemayim Lo'yeh Mator. As we say in the second chapter of Kriyashma, if you go and you worship foreign gods, then there will be no rain. So maybe that's what happened. Bat Kuvro Matsu. They checked out, no one's doing idol worship. So now there's another year of famine. Shni, Amarhem, Shema, Ovri, Averi, Eshbachem. Maybe you're being over your sins. Diksiv, Ve'yiman, Revivim, Makos, Royer, Metzach, Isha, Zonor, Hayerach. So maybe, in fact, it says there that if in the event that there's sexual immorality, that'll lead to famine. So maybe that's what's going on. But Gavro Matsu. Swing and a miss, strike two. Shrishas, 3rd year, it happens again. Amarhem, Shema, Poski, Tzedaka, Be'rabi, Eshbachem, Ve'nosnim. Maybe people have offered to give tzedakah and publicly and aren't giving. Diksiv, nesiim v'ruach v'geshem ein ish mehalel b'misas b'matas sheker. Says as there's a proof text. So batkuv lo matzu. Again, wrong again. Amar ein adavar toli elabi. So David said the problem must be with me, not with the Jewish people. Miyad vayiv akish David es b'nei Hashem. So he turns around and he asks God. How does he ask God? He went into used the breastplate of the Kohen and he used that as a communication tool with God. My mashma rulaza asya pnei pnei. It's exactly the ksiv hacha v'yikar David is pnei Hashem. Ksiv halosam v'shalo v'mishbat ha'urim lifnei Hashem. So the word pnei and lifnei indication is the same thing. So what does he say? Because of Shaul and what happened there. So he said that there's, so we would have thought, well, that's one problem. It's what Shaul did to the Givonim. So the Gemara says, no. There's two things. Katava el Shaul Shaul Nisper Kalacha. Katava al Shehemis Givonim. Well, let's just skip the line. So al Shaul Shaul Nisper al Beis Adam Shehemis Givonim. Two things. One is that Shaul was deserving of a more proper eulogy, and also the Givonim have a claim. So where did Shaul kill the Givonim? This is fascinating. And we talk Shaul Nov, Ir Kohanim, Shem Maspikon, Mayim Umazon, Al Kasuk Ilu Hargan. Now listen to this. There was a city called Nov, which is an Ir Kohanim. They used to support the Givonim.
I don't know who the Givonim are. Who's that?
Givonim are a people that have a gripe with Shaul's family.
Are they Jews?
No.
Okay.
They converted on the false pretenses.
Sorry, I must have missed that.
Right. So, what happened? So these Kohanim would support these non-Jews. Shaul kills the city. Indirectly, he ends up harming the Givonim. So again, this is very indirect. You know, here you have a nice bunch of Kohanim who are kind enough to support these non-Jews, and now they have a claim against Shaul. How dare you wipe out the Kohanim? And it seems that they have a good claim. So say, wait a second. You can't have it both ways. On the one hand, you tell me Shaul is such a great guy, you should have given a better eulogy. And then in the same breath, you're saying to me, how could it be that he did this wrong thing to the Givonim? Therefore, they are deserving of punishing him. So in the Gemara says, it doesn't bother me. Well, it goes together. So Amr David, back to our story. He says, it's already past 12 months since Shaul died. So to give a hefsped at this point isn't called for. However, the other half I can take care of. Let me talk to the Givonim, see if I can fix things. What can I do for you? So he said, we want 10 people to kill. So David said, come on, you don't really want to kill these people. You know, another more dead people, what's going to help? They refuse to hear otherwise. They wanted blood. So, Amar, Shrosha Simon Yesh B'Umazu. When we know it comes to Jews, that there are three basic character traits. Harachmanim V'Abayshanim V'Gomri Chasadim. They're merciful, they're humble, and they are generous. How do we know that? Rachman Dixi V'Nasan L'Cha Rachmim V'Yichamech V'Yirbecha. V'Abayshanim Dixi B'Avor T'yeh Yirasov B'Pnechem. G'mil Son Dixi V'Marash Yisar S'Banav Es Beso. So again, we have a proof text. Kol sheyesh bo shrosho simanim halal vol yidavik bo mazu. So if anybody who acts this way, if anyone is merciful, etc., then that person can be part of the Jewish people. Clearly, if they wanted blood, they were not Jewish. So that was the statement that's what David says, you're going to get what you want, but this clarifies something else for us. So v'ikach ha'melech shnei b'nei ritzvah basai asher yodol ishol v'es harmonis v'es mifi bokshas v'es chameshas b'nei michal b'ashor asher yodol adriel ben barzirai mochulasi. So maishna hadi, so why did he pick those? And Rav Huna, ha'rim v'nei Aaron. He took all the children of Shaul, all the descendants, had them walk in front of the Aaron. Kol shor and kotul l'misa. If the Aaron grabbed the person, he knew to put them kol shor. In Aaron kotul l'chaim.
If he grabbed the person, what?
They were put to death. They were one of the seven to be offered.
Got it.
If they aren't grabbed the person.
It's seven, not ten? I thought it was ten and
seven.
Seven.
What does that mean?
What?
What does that mean?
So that means that when you walk by, if you can't get by, it means that the decision was it was you. So Rav Chanan.
Who's yes. making that decision?
Let the Aaron. David says, walk by the Aaron. Whoever the Aaron doesn't let by. So he's not making the call here. The question, wait a second, that doesn't really make sense. But most of Rav Chanan Rechidina, Bikshu Vayachma Melcha Mephiboshes Ben Yonasan Ben Shaul. It says that he spared his life, indicates that this was David's call. Shohei Viro. No, you tell me he doesn't have to walk by. V'chi m'shav upon yesh b'davar? That's not fair. Why did he get taken out? Let him go through it like everybody else. No, he walked by. He got caught, and David he was let go. He said, "Okay, that's also not fair. Why didn't he pray for the other guys to save them?" No, he just prayed beforehand that he wouldn't get caught. Wait a second. How did he ever get over? We say that sons don't die for the sins of the parents. So how was it that these seven were put to death? It's not my niggin.
It's coming out of the bag here.
So Amar Yochanan, Mutav She'akar Os Achas Metorav Val Yisrael Shem Shemayim Befarhesia. He says, no better that a letter should be taken out of the Torah rather than there be a Chil Hashem in public. So what's going on here? So we'll have to look into that as well. Atika Rizav Asayas HaSak V'atatei Lo El Atzur Mitchiyos Kutzir Ane Nitach Amayim Aleim Min HaShemayim V'onosan Ofer Shemayim V'anuachim Yomam V'chayis HaSadeh Raila. So it says that she stood there and she guarded over them for months. V'aksiv Lo Talin Livoso Eitz, but you're not allowed to hang people? So Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Yishimon Ben Yehud Tzadak Mutav She'akar Ov Sach Metor Dizkai Shein Shemayim V'farasa. For sake of Kiddush Hashem, it's okay. So you Ovrim V'shavim V'omrim. So what was going on here? So people would pass by and they'd see these bodies hanging. They'd say, Mativ and Shalim, what are those guys hanging there? Halal b'nei malachim heim. They're actually princes. Ma'asu, what'd they do? Pashu deim begirim gururim. They messed up with people that were not even proper converts. Amru, ein lecha umma shiriri davek b'kazu. Ma b'nei malachim kach b'nei adyotas arachas kam v'kama. So this is a great nation. If they do this to princes, how much more so they would do it to someone who's not a royalty? Magim Gruim Kach, and if they will do this to protect even the lowest people of society, Yisrael Achas Kam V'Kama, regular people so much, Yani Tosva Yisrael Me'eva Chamishim Elef, 150,000 people converted over this.
You thought you had problems today.
What?
You thought you had problems today.
Right. Here you guys think of 143,000 people in Shul and he's still another minion. No. So
this is a very bizarre thing you're
right. Okay. So let's take a step back and consider what we just read.
Yeah.
We read a story in the Navi. The story in the Navi says that there's a 3-year fast. Right? And then David finally says, what's going on here?
Famine.
Thank you.
I was going to say, how do you do a 3-year fast?
What?
Very fast.
I'm just feeling that way.
Okay.
So you have this 3-year famine. Why did David wait 3 years to do anything about it? So we see for the Navi, the reason after the first year he tried it, the second year he tried it, the third year he tried. Okay. Right? He gets the word from God through the Urim V'Tumim, as we get filled in, that we're upset about two things. One is about the fact that there was not a proper eulogy for Shaul, which is interesting, because how did Shaul die?
He was in a bad place. I mean, he did bad things.
How did he die, ultimately?
He was killed in the battle.
He killed himself.
He committed suicide.
What?
So,
how did he kill himself?
Right. So again, that's... What?
How did he kill himself?
Fell on his sword.
Wow. Is that where we get that expression?
I don't know if that's where we got the expression, but that's what he did.
Okay.
So, that was...
They didn't teach him that in Sunday school.
Well, see? That's what you're here for. That's an oddity, which is worth noting. In fact, the halacha, people discuss this, because in general... Ted correctly pointed out, we do not eulogize someone who commits suicide. And so that's problem number one. Problem two is the Givonim have some gripe that Shaul did them wrong. Shaul killed some of them. We find out from that he never killed anybody. It was an indirect type of thing. But they still say, we want blood. And even though David tries to talk them out of it, they don't get it. So ultimately, David has to pick out 7 people to give over to them. And this is seen as something that is extra legal here, because under normal circumstances we would never do it. Mm-hmm. And in fact, many parts of this should have never been done. You should have never picked out the people, should have never given over. They shouldn't be hanging there for months. But the idea was that David saw this as a great Kiddush Hashem, and in fact it turned into such as 150,000 people converted. That is the basics.
What? Wait a minute. Before the 150,000 converted, how did he see this as a big
He said as follows. God says, we got a 3-year famine. This famine is staying until you make right by them. So this is clearly something that was exception to the rule. God said, you've got to do right by them. And they said, the only way you're going to do right by us is if you do this.
Maybe it seemed that the famine is really caused because Shaul killed everyone from Nova, and that we figured that out through the Givonim complaining. And
well, I mean, the word from God is, look at right. The Pasuk is, it's because of Shaul and the Givonim. God could have said, what should they have done about the Nova situation? Yeah. We'll see that.
But how does this fix anything?
Now they're happy.
So that's all that's... I think this is very bizarre.
Okay, well, let's read on a little bit.
Okay.
Rashi just makes a small comment. The fact that it says that it's been 12 months since Shaul dies is not specifically 12 months, but rather it's longer than that. It's around 13 years. What? It's more like 13 years at this point, but that is more than 12 months.
Hold on a second. I can understand reparation of some sort. This is no reparation. Why? I mean, are we going to get a better answer? Is that why you want to go on?
No, according to this, the idea was you've got to do right by them. And he offered them money. He offered offered to make them whole, however possible. And they said the only way we will be made whole is if, we lost seven, he's going to have to lose seven. The Yerushalmi takes a different approach. Yerushalmi has a different tact. Yerushalmi number 3 on the sheets. Shal tov akor and amr lehem, ma lochem lebe shoel. So he calls and says, what can you do? Amr lo al yudei shehemis mimenu shiva nashim. He said, he killed 7 of ours. Shnei chotzvei eitzim, right? 2 wood choppers. Shnei shoavei mayim, 2 water drawers. Sofer chazim v'shanas. Amr lo, ma ton ba'avon. So what can you do? Amr lo, yutin lonu shiva nashim, huk no la Hashem, be given. He took from us 7, we won 7 from him. Amalod, Mahanoe Yeshrachon. So what are you going to gain out of this? What benefit are you going to get from this? In Eno Mekatan Sabo, Lachon Kesav Izov. So take money. Amalay, Ein Lano Kesav Izov Himshal. We're not interested in money. We want blood. In Beso. Arma Dilma Bahatin Ilin Mina Ilin. Having also Kochad Chaminom of Fire Slice. So maybe we can go one by one and make everyone happy. Kumi Nashi. So that's what he says. He went down from person to person, tried to convince them, and they were absolutely not willing to talk. So this was it. It was seen as the only option. So we learn from here that the Nesinim, in fact, are not Jewish. We do not treat them as Jews. I don't know if we have any of them around nowadays, but if we were. In fact, it's very interesting. This is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, the Halacha. You look at the Shulchan Aruch, something we can, a take-home message here. If your son comes home with a lovely daughter, if your daughter comes home with a lovely boy, you can absolutely, positively marry into them and not worry about, what their yichus is. However, if you see the Hatfields and McCoys that are constantly fighting with one another, or you see a family that tends to fight with people all the time, a person who's really always fighting is a particularly brazen fellow. You should not marry into that family. These are signs of people that aren't necessarily Jewish. If someone walks around and says, this guy's a mamzer, that guy's a mamzer, he's talking about other people. We assume that perhaps he's the one. Vim Omer, he says there's a possible moon apostle. Because when someone curses another person, he's really using his own problems. If someone particularly wicked, hard, has a very hard heart, hates people, and isn't a person who is benevolent, in fact, this is the rule, that if you see someone who acts in a certain way, It's not that a matter that it's just not smart to get involved in the family, but you actually have to be concerned that they're perhaps not Jewish, because Jews don't act that way. So, that is the idea in the Shulchan Aruch. A lot of Mefarshim take different tacks to it. The Radak has a very interesting point. The Radak talks here, well, since we're running a little late, we'll pick up the pace a little bit. He says that, he asks the same question, why are the children killed for the sins of the fathers? And we explained that this is some sort of exceptional case, Gemara says, because David HaMelech had to stop the famine and they would not be appeased any other way. The Radak disagrees. He doesn't necessarily disagree with the Gemara, but he has a different approach. So perhaps these people have not reached the age of bar mitzvah. There is the concept that we talk about that children are not punished for the sins of the parents. That only applies to people that reach the age of majority. There is a concept that if people don't behave themselves in a certain very serious way, the children will be killed when they are still children. The death of children sometimes is a punishment for parents. So one possibility is to say, well, maybe these were people that were very young. Odds are that's highly unlikely. Why? Remember, Shaul only was the king for 2 years. And Meirav was married to Adriel before she was married to David. That means these five children were married prior to Shaul becoming the king. And this is 13 years later. It is highly unlikely that these people are still under the age of Bar or Bas Mitzvah. Right. So therefore we have to reject that approach. Rather, he says as follows. He says, remember, this decision that these people be killed was not made by man. Right? David HaMelech got the word from God that something's got to be done. Then the Aaron decided who gets it. So this was not Misa Bidei Adam. This wasn't a worldly court making a decision. This was a decision made by the heavenly court. And the Radak says this concept, Yumsus Avos Albanim, that man does not get punished for his father's sins, that only applies in the worldly court. However, in the heavenly court, they do punish you for your father's sins. It's a fascinating thought.
Great.
Yeah, fabulous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you're not just mucking up your own life, you're mucking up your kids' life as well. This, of course, is not a popular opinion. But it's an important opinion that is out there that's worth noting here. And we're not going to read through the rest of it. But that's an interesting approach. Ritva and the Gemara, different opposed. The Ritva wants to know about what does it mean here that it's better that one letter for the Torah should be uprooted rather than there be a Chil Hashem. So the Ritva says, "V'chim ma'ashve panim yesh la'atzil midinei nafashos im hu chayv sheyischayv acher b'makomo." So the question is, wait a second, what would have happened here if David would have said, "I don't want Mephibosheth to be killed"? So someone else would have been killed. That's not fair. Right? Unfortunately, there's a fair amount of literature in the Holocaust response about this. Right? The Nazis are coming to take X amount of people. I have the ability to bribe an official to get my kid off the list. But that means someone else is going to go on the list. So am I allowed to pay that bribe? Right? Usually the approach is negative in that case. So that being the case, you know, so to here, you can't take Mephibosheth off the list, because by definition you're putting someone else on the list, and that's not right. So that was the problem. V'ksivro yumsa avos albanim v'anim yumsa avos v'hech hiskima hashchina shekolt ma'aron l'hargum l'akro mitzvah zu. So he says, how did the Aaron agree to go along with this? That's not right. Ma'adrinan mutar she'ataka os achos me'at Torah v'lo yischar l'shem shemayim b'farhaseh. So the answer is that no, even though this violates the rules, in this case, you know, that the Givonim shouldn't think that Shaul, being a king gets treated better than anybody else. Therefore, it was necessary to violate the rules here. And in fact, we have a general rule like that, that Beis Din can punish people in extra legal ways in extraordinary cases. So he said, on the one hand, two things. One is not that we're uprooting part of the Torah, because this is part of the Torah. The Torah says there are times that you have to use extra legal ways. And of course, this isn't one letter. This is an entire pasuk we're getting rid of. So he says, what was limited here? Here's a cute comment here. It says, lo yumsu avasabanim. Lo yumsu die the children because of the father. So he says, the letter you're taking rid of is the lamed. He said, Aleph isn't really a letter because it doesn't make any sounds. It doesn't do anything. So what's left? But you take out the lamed. It says, Yom su avas al banim. That the children do die. That's what we're talking about here. So, different approaches to as how it happened here. But overall, it's a somewhat disturbing story. One or two other things that are worth noting. The Medrash takes a little bit of a different approach. Says that Mephibosheth was treated a little better, A, because he was a Talmud Chacham, and B, he does not have that the Aron did it, but rather the Mizbeach did it.
Wait.
The Aron what?
The Aron didn't, but the Mizbeach did.
Right. That it's a question of fact. It doesn't really make a difference in terms of the story. Just we'll note that.
Again, the people just can't walk by. Something happens, and they just can't walk
by.
It's
like a magnet.
Right. And in terms of, also we'll do the Tshuvas. Harashba makes a comment which is interesting, which is something that Sam pointed out, that after Michal was married to Adriel, she marries David, and David raises her children.
Okay.
So that's why the Torah is pointing out that even though these were the children that David raised, he gave them over. These were his stepchildren, and still, he did what had to be done.
Well,
what do you say what had to be done?
Some reason, again,
God tells him he has to make a tikkun.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it doesn't say specifically.
Right, and he tries everything but.
He tries everything but. But at the end of the day, he could have also said no. He could have also said, I'm not going to go that far. And this is my line.
And the famine would have gone on. And many people would have died.
It's just a very bizarre...
Not so good to be king. Right? At no point is there any indication that what he did was wrong here.
Yeah,
well, it's sort of outside... It seems outside everything else we've learned.
And where do you understand that a Beitin can give... Misa can give...
So that's the Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about the concept of Beis and Makim Onshin Shalom Min Adin regularly. That in the event that there is a situation where, let's say there's a guy, he's a serial killer. And we know it, we've proven it up and down, but we've never gotten him with two witnesses and the requisite Hasra. So in that case, the Beis Din has a right to put the guy to death, despite
right.
the fact.
But this is a stretch from that.
Right, so again, there is this kind of, there is extra legal power.
Stretch.
Right? So again, but it's a big stretch until you consider the person. The fact that God stepped in and asked for it, basically.
Well, he said, God says you have to do something.
You got to make this right.
God doesn't say do this.
Right, but he's got no option. As it says, with both the Bava and Yerushalmi said he tries everything else.
Why do they let them hang from us?
So, let's discuss that.
What was your question?
Why do they let the bodies hang from us? And that wasn't part of the request.
Right.
So again, well, that's number 10. We'll just do number 9. The Rambo just points out that this is within the powers of the kings. In the event that there's somebody is a murderer but is not caught, technically the king has the right to put him to death in order to keep society running properly. And he can even kill many at one time. V'tola, and he can hang them. Mnichon truin yamin rabin. V'hatol ema v'shaber yad rishayolam. He can even keep him hanging out for as long as he wants in order to control society. So one approach is to take the Rambam and say, listen, this is the king. He can do whatever he wants. The Ramban takes a different approach. If you look at the Ramban, the Ramban says, V'al dati ha'inyan b'vnei shal ha'mukoyim, v'nei shal ha'yitruim b'beizin shal Yisrael. V'lo miyad Yisrael klal. This, he says, remember, this wasn't a decision made by a Jewish court. They were given over to the Givonim, and now the Givonim were going to do whatever they want with it. And the Givonim didn't feel particularly bound to the Torah.
Yeah, but this feels like dragging the bodies, like we've had, you know, dragging
right.
the bodies through the street for God yeah. knows how long until they're, like, falling apart, and it's just...
Yeah, we're not happy that they did this, but, you
right.
know, we gave them over. And this is what you had to give them over, and this is what they
it
did.
It just gets worse and worse, is what it feels like.
Right. So that is the story. The Medrash discusses Medrash Shmuel. We'll just say it outside. It talks about how long it was. It was from basically from the end of Sukkot until the until Pesach. This was 6 months that they hung
okay.
out there. And again, but the idea of the fact that she sat there and watched over the bodies was seen as a very positive thing. And the last. Number 12 is the Medrash, which we're just going to leave off with. It talks about the idea is that once David saw the way that Ritzvah Bas Aya was taking care of the bodies, he realized, okay, I should really do something for Shaul as well. And with that, David goes and he properly
eulogizes
Shaul. And as it says, we're at the Pasuk Yud Gimel now for the other person who has a Navi. Yubez actually. Here we get off. You got a David Asa share also saw Ritzva Basai Pilat Rishol, and David hears what she did. And then Vayech Dova Yikach has Atzmo Shol Ves Atzmo Yonos and Beno Meis Bava Yavesh Gira to share Gunvu of some Mirocho Beit Shan Asher Tila Shama Plishtim Beyoma Kos Plishtim Ashol Be Gilboa. He goes and he gets it back from the Yavesh Gilad, who in fact had gotten the body back from the Plishtim, and they had quickly buried him. And with that, he is buried back in Binyamin together with his father, with his family, and with that, everything is now better.
And the famine abates, basically.
Yes. If you like the last story, you'll love this one.
So what are you supposed to learn?
What?
And what does God want us to learn from this?
I would say that God probably wants us to learn that we treat everybody right. Even if the people are jerks and they're on the lower end of the totem pole and the person who did them wrong was the king, still, they have rights and we take care of them no matter what the cost. That would be my take-home message from this.
And what does it mean to look after the bodies for the 6 months that they're hanging there? What does that mean?
That means that the animal shouldn't eat it and the vulture shouldn't come in and start biting at it.
Okay.
V'atihi od milchama l'prishtim es Yisrael v'yiridav v'avadavim v'yachamu im prishtim v'yachav David. So there was another fight with the prishtim. There were many beforehand, a bunch afterwards. And again, David went out to fight and he became weak at this point. V'yishpi b'nova shebiridei harafa u'mishral keno shrosh meos mishkal nechoshes v'hu chogor chadosha v'yom harakos et David. There was this guy, Yishpi b'nov. Yishpi b'nov was a giant, the son of harafa, and he wanted to kill David. V'ya'azor lo avisha ben tzuriya v'yachas ha'plishti v'yim yiseyu. Az nishpi b'an shei David l'anu but then Avishai comes swooping in and saves his life, and they say, that's it, David, you're not fighting anymore. Too much of a risk. You're staying home. This is a very, very long Gemara, which we will read through a little bit on in Sanhedrin. If we look at number 13, this is only a small part of the actual story. David. Who's this Yishbi Vinov guy? What type of name is that? Amar Yehuda, Marav Ish Shabal Iske Nov. There's a guy who came because of what happened in Nov. What was Nov? We discussed that earlier.
Still in Nov.
Dola Nov, can't get past Nov. Nov was the city of Kohanim that Shaul wiped out. Why does anyone remember why did Shaul wipe out Nov or Kohanim?
I don't remember.
We don't know.
They helped David.
Because they helped David, correct. David went there, he took a sword of Goliath, and he took some bread, and Shaul thought that they were unaware of the fact that they were helping him. Shaul found out about it, thought that they were helping a Morid B'malchus, and therefore he wiped them out. So Rabbi Yehuda Marav Ishabal Iskenov Amalei Hakadosh Baruch Hu David and Masa Ye Avan Zetam BiYadecha. He said, until how long will this sin be stuck in? Will be dirty in your hands? Al Yadcha Nerga Nov Yerakohanim. Al Yadcha Nitra Doge Endomi. Ve'alocha Nego Shel V'Shoshes Banav. Because of you, all the Kohanim were killed out. Because of you, Doge Endomi was ultimately sent to Gehenim, and because of you, Shaul and his sons were killed. So again, this is also not so direct, because he went and he got help from there that led to that. So somehow he is blamed for it. So God says, David, he says, you've got a choice. God says, Ritzoncha yikol zarecha o timsa biyad oyev. Would you rather that I wipe out all of your descendants, or would you like to be given over to your enemies? I will definitely take the option of being given over to my enemies. One thing was in the place of Skor Bazoi. Also, Satan Idnu Ekativya. And the Satan came and he was looking like a deer. Pasak be gear of Romati. So he tried to shoot a arrow at the deer and it wouldn't reach. Mashke ad anti le eretz pushed him. So he ended up chasing this deer until he ended up in the land of the Plishtim. Uh-oh, ki dechaza yishbi nivinov, omar, hainu, hai, dekatli, Goliath achi. Wait a second, this is the guy who killed my brother Goliath. Kafte, kamte, osve, roshade, tuse, bebadia. He tied him up, he doubled him over, he stuck him in an olive press, and he was going to crush him. David, that is. A miracle happened that the land below him turned soft, so when they pushed him down, he just went into the land. It was Erev Shabbos. Avisha ben Tzuya, however, Kachayef Reshe Barabar Gavis Damia, Demaya. Avisha ben Tzuya was taking a shower. Chazero Kat Me Dama. He saw some blood in the water. Or someone said that he saw a dove flying in front of him. Amar Knesset Yisrael Yona Imaltei Imatalia Shnema Kanfe Yona Nechpas Kesef Shema Shmaya the Dove Malchus Yisrael B'Tzara Shari. From this he understood somehow that David was in trouble. Also Vesev Alashkei went to David's house, couldn't find it. Amar Tanei Rochem Al Susa Vein Yoshim Al Kisa Vein Mishdamsim Misharbito. I'd like to go run after him as soon as I can, but I don't know if I'm allowed to use his horse because he's the king. Shasakana Mai, but here if he's in trouble, am I allowed to? Also Shol Bei Midrashi is Shaila Malay Bashasakana Shabbatin. Allowed to. Okay, good. Rachi Fredley Vakam Azal Kotsalayara. So he started going after him. He had a miracle that the land became short. He got there quickly. Bali Kamasagi Chazilo Orpa Ime Davis Navla. Who did he see? He saw Orpa. Wait a second. Who's Orpa?
From the Ruth story.
Correct.
So she's a Moabite.
Right. Woman. But after she because she goes and she marries a Plishti, she has a son named Goliath and another son named Mishibino. So there she is. So Avishai sees Arpa. And he sees that she is sewing. So she took off the spindle and she threw it at him. So Mekitle, because she tried to kill Avishai. Armalei, when she Alam Isli Plach, she said, oh, can I have it back? So he took it and threw it back at her and killed her with it. Karchazi Yishri Vinov. Omar Hashti Havi Betray Katlin Lee. He said, oh, if the two of them fight, they're going to beat me. He said, throws David in the air and he sticks his sword in the ground. He said, David will land on the sword and it will kill him. Am Avisha shame. So Avisha says the shame of Mefarish, the guards hid a name. And David is now stuck midair.
How did he end up in the air?
What? He got thrown in the air by the giant.
Got it. Okay.
And he'll disappear out.
Did he fall on it? Okay.
Right. Avishai says the thing. He's stuck now. But anyway, so why didn't David say it himself? You can't save yourself. It's just like a person who's in prison can't get himself out. Armalei, my bais hacha. He said, what are you doing here? Armalei, hachi amalei kutcher brichu, v'hachi adrilei. So this is what happened. Armalei, epoch tzlusach, bar brach kira lizavin v'aat lo titzdayer. So he said, you know, turn around your tefillahs. Rather, I should suffer and not my kids. Something's got to happen. Amalei, yihachi siyad be'adon. He said, if that was the case, you were supposed to die, I couldn't have come and helped you. Ha'imdiksiv, ayazor lo Avishai ben Tzruya. So he came to help him. Hudam rav she'azur betfila. He prayed and he got him out of it. Amavishai, shem va'achte. With that, he says it again, the magic words, magic name, and David is lowered down. Ha'kar radif basrayu. So they decide to run after this giant and get him. Kimata kubi ami kumbe. Kimati betray ami. So originally, actually, they were being chased by him. So when they get to a certain place, they said, we should turn around and kill him. Why is he running after us? Kimata betray ami betray gurayu katla ari. So we've got to do something about this. He's going to get us. Amalei zil ashke lopra imcha begivris. So he yells out, hey, big boy, why don't you go find your mother Orpa, who's right now lying in her grave? I killed your mama.
Or your mama.
Right.
Yeah.
That would be the short version.
Gotcha.
When he heard the name of his mother, he turned weak, and they killed him. That's why they said, David, you stay home now. Don't ever pull one of these again. So these three pesukim, the Torah Shabbal Peh very much fills in a whole different story.
Really?
So that's what happened here. In fact, that this was the brother of Goliath, who was the son of Orpah, which meant that this guy was related to David. Right?
Yeah.
Huh. Right? This was his cousin.
Via Goliath.
Very interesting. Okay. With that, we will round up the parak a little bit. And then there was another war, and then they killed Sifchai Hachushti, who was another son of Harapha. Orpah is referred sometimes as Orpah with an ayin, sometimes Harapha with a hay. It's the same person, the Gemara tells us. So again, first we killed Goliath, then we killed Yishvi Benov, now we just killed another one of her kids. They were pretty big boys. The old Milcham begov in Prishtim. Vayach Elchanan ben Yari Argim, Vesalachmi as Gol Yasagiti, Veshaniso Kimnor Argim. So then with that, they killed Elchanan, kills Golias Agiti, who's probably not the same Goliath as the other one. And he was a big guy as well. He used to carry a large beam with him. Rus Rabba just catches up that who is this Elchanan? Vayach Elchanan Zed David. David actually did go back to war afterwards and was doing quite well, thank you. Vati od milchama begat, vayi ish madon. Vetzbos yadav, vetzbos raglov sheish, v'esrim v'arba misbar, v'gam hu yilal arafa. Then this guy, ish madon, he had six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot. He also, by the way, was a child of Orpah. Vayecharef es Yisrael veyake Yonasan ben Shima, achi David. And he cursed the Jews, and with that, David's brother, Yehonasan ben Shima, killed him. As Arvaz elo yuldul arafa begas vayipu v'yad David v'yad avadav. And these were the four sons of Orpah. All of them had some special physical
interesting
attributes. And they were all killed by David and his people. Interesting notes. You look at number 15. We have a Gemara in Bukharos.
Wait, before you go to 15?
Yes.
The choice that David had was yourself or the generations after you. He said, okay, myself. So the fact that he didn't get sacrificed
Right.
There's no harm on his descendants. I mean,
right, because the idea is
even though he didn't collect in full.
That is correct, because Avishai prayed, and you know that the punishment that he got, that he nearly got killed, was enough.
Okay.
Then he got his. A few interesting notes. The Gemara in Bechoros talks about if you have something with six fingers and six toes, is that a problem? If you have an animal with more toes or fingers than necessary, or kohen, is that some sort of mum? So the Gemara tells us, Yiter b'yad v'ragav shesh shesh arba esrim v'arba. Someone has six, total 24. Rav Yehuda mashiv chamin poslim. So the Rav Yehuda says that's fine. Chum said no, it's not. Hashoy b'shay yadav rabbi pasul chamin mashiv. Similarly, there's a similar machokas by if someone is an ambidextrous, whether that's a problem or not. The Gemara in Bechoros then says later on, when discussing this Mishnah, Yiter b'yadav v'yago over Rav Yitzchak v'shneim mikra echad darshin. They both learned it from the same place. Where do they discuss it? Right here. Some people say that they're making fun of him. He's got six fingers. That's something wrong. Other people say, no, that's wonderful. He has six fingers. And this guy, just like they told, they were such giants and they were great. So here he was great. He had six fingers. It's a good thing. Why do you have to tell me that there was 24? I can add up six, four times as 24. You didn't need the pasuk to tell me that. Because Rav Manah sheish sheish have a mina shis di yadav shis di kare, I think that he has six fingers overall and six toes overall. See the esim v'arba. If it tells you no, six on each hand and six on each foot. See the esim v'arba have a mina have a chamesh mehayis v'shem mehayis. Just at 24, could have been five on one hand and seven on the other hand. Sheish sheish mispar. Okay, fine. Last note is Gemara in Sota. Referring to the fact that this is again Orpa, this Arbas Elo Yodel Laharafa, the Gatva Yipu Biyadav Biyavanov, my Ninu, what's going on here? Amar Vichizda, Safu Modon Golias Vishbinov. These are the four that we just list. A Yipu Bradav Biyadavadav, the Xiva Tishak, Orpa, the Hamosa, Virus Dovkava. When Orpa leaves Naomi, she kisses her goodbye, as opposed to Rus, who sticks her? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Kosh Baruch Hu, Yavo Bnei HaNeshuka, V'yipu Bnei HaNevuka. The descendants of the woman who kissed their mother-in-law goodbye should fall in the hands of the descendants of the one that held on to their mother-in-law. Mm. And with that, we end. All right.